Alrighty. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach. Wow. A whole year has gone by since last Yom Teruah. What a year it's been. And the name of the message today is called Analyzing the Shemitah Year. So I think this has to be one of the fastest years of my life. I think a lot of people were saying that. I also want to thank, in the last week or so, so many brethren and elders that have been sending Shemitah blessings and pictures, and it's amazing. And I'm shocked at how many vegetables that people had that they didn't plant, that just grew up on their own, and that they've been sending. So praise Yahweh for that. So the Shemitah year has been a wonderful, faith-filled year with many blessings. And I want to just read to you my own blessings of our family, some of them anyway. Now, these aren't all of them, but there's some. We had so many blessings this year, both by having Yahweh provide physical food as well as spiritual food in our life. And, you know, we want to taper the both of them. It is a year that we don't plan, and Yahweh does care for us physically, but it's also a year of spiritual blessings. And again, Yahweh giving double and triple and quadruple of everything that we give out. We gleaned around 150 or more orphan or almond trees that nobody owns, and picked the nuts from them. We have so many that we have good enough for several years, actually, with that. We picked wild lettuce and spinach growing in the open fields. Potatoes that we planted 2 years ago that only grew now in the Shemitah. And even also some potatoes that lasted in our refrigerator the whole year. Parsley that grew for about 9 months. And then when that, we were on a trip and that died and we came back, and then wild parsley started growing in the backyard all the way through the end of the Shemitah. Cherry tomatoes that grew up until just about the 12th month of the Shemitah. The plant, actually, we planted it before the Shemitah, and it never grew for like 6 or 7 months, and then just kept growing and growing and growing. Figs, pomegranates, grapes, lemons, oranges, grapefruits, artichokes, all from trees that were on the property where we were staying. Finding more than 20 kilos of Shemitah-proof frozen vegetables from two different stores 6 to 9 months after the Shemitah started. So, you know, and you got to really be careful, because I know sometimes somebody will say, well, the expiration date says, you know, whatever, December of 23. So all you have to do is go back 2 years. It doesn't work that way. Think about it this way. Like, if you saw a piece of meat in a store and you weren't sure what that meat was, you weren't sure if it was pork or you weren't sure if it was beef, would you eat it if it didn't say what it was? Of course you wouldn't. You know, you wouldn't take a risk like that. So in the Shemitah, it's the same way. Unless something is clearly marked with the date that it was put in the package, you know, we got to be really careful that, you know, we're not just guessing on it, because then it would be violating the Shemitah. Another thing that was very interesting, we found more than 20 kilos of Shemitah-proof brown rice after we found out that we couldn't have white rice for about 5 months. Me and Petra were going through a certain type of detox diet that we had to do. So we didn't realize it at the time that a lot of stuff that we saved for the Shemitah we couldn't eat. And just at that time when we find it out, because we had hardly, I don't even think we might have had any brown rice that was stored, we found 20 kilos clearly marked in a store that really doesn't have markings on their food. But this one was clearly marked, some of it from 2021 actually, which was kind of interesting. Eating our Shemitah food all year long during Shemitah and not even going through probably 20% of our supply. So it was almost like in the Bible where we see, like with Elijah with the oil, where, you know, we still, it's amazing how much food we still have, even though we were using it, it didn't seem to go down. Finding an extremely small local farmer who picks his fruit daily. That's how small his little farm is. He just picks it daily and comes and sells it near the side of the road. And he was even willing to trade with us, you know, so things that we had extra, like figs, we had hundreds and hundreds of them. You couldn't eat them all, and he was willing to actually even give us money. Having onions we bought before the Shemitah last in the refrigerator for all 12 months. We actually still have a couple of them in the freezer. Having the blessing to jar, dehydrated, and vacuum seal many fruits and vegetables for Shemitah. Finding some small food stores during Shemitah that had Shemitah-proof cereal and different foods that we could eat through all 12 months. So it's just amazing the blessings that we had. And even this past week that we actually picked about 15 to 20 pounds of blackberries that we found just growing in the wild. Yahweh also provided spiritually with the awesome opportunity to go to Mount Sinai, the highlight of maybe my life, even not just the year, and see the very mountain where Yahweh first appeared to Moses and shared with him his name and his Torah. Yahweh also blessed me to be able to make multiple mission trips around the globe and see many brethren that I have not seen in a long time due to the fake COVID pandemic. This was such a Shemitah blessing for both me and the brethren that I was blessed to visit. And now Yahweh also blessed me to finish a new correspondence course, Lesson 27 on the Wilderness, and here we are. So that's just a little sample of some of the Shemitah blessings that we had this year. And also, you know, like I said, the Shemitah is a year of building up, it's a year of tearing down. And there was also some important things that happened in world events that maybe you recognize these, maybe you didn't, but I'll just mention some of them that are here. Right before Shemitah began, at the end of last summer, the abortion law, Roe versus Wade, was repealed in America. And to be honest, I didn't think that was ever going to be repealed. And technically, I mean, what they did was they repealed the national law on that and gave it back to the states. So many states even made the laws worse for it. But it was interesting on a national level that Roe versus Wade by the Supreme Court was repealed right before Shemitah was beginning. The U.S. government released all student debt in August of last year, in the biblical month that they're supposed to be released the debts, right? It all gets released in the end of the 6 month, the last day of the 6 months it's supposed to be. So I thought that was interesting. And then last September, Queen Elizabeth died. And she reigned on the throne for 70 years, right? 10 Shemitahs, 10 being the number of incomplete government. But she reigned for 10 different Shemitahs, 70 years. And 70 is an endpoint number. We know that right from Scripture. Israel punished 70 years. David, Solomon, Saul all died at 70 years old. Right, so 70 is an endpoint number in Scripture, and she reigned for exactly 70 years. Interesting enough, her funeral days of mourning lasted until the day the Shemitah began. The day the Shemitah began was the last day of the mourning period, you know, and she died right before that. And then King Charles was coronated in the Shemitah year, just like she was coronated in the Shemitah year. So I thought that that was major, considering that the royal family is a major player in the, you know, the global government that's going on and everything, and that that all happened in a Shemitah year. Also, one of the big things was the amount of bad weather that happened this past Shemitah. I'm just going to read some of it here, and if this doesn't tell you that, you know, we're in the beginning of the woes, you know, the time is really moving on here. But there was so much bad weather. Usually if you have one or two or three storms in a year, that's a lot, right? But over here, floods kill at least 182 in Afghanistan. This was through the month of August. Flooding in India takes at least 192 lives. This was in June. The monsoons that came from June through the summer. Drought leads to more than 200 deaths in East Africa, and we're seeing more famine that's coming up in that region over there. It's called the worst drought in more than 40 years, putting millions at risk of starvation. Tropical storm Meggy kills at least 214 in the Philippines. This was in April. And it said it was a mega destructive storm. You know, they said one of the worst they had on record. And then an earthquake, a 5.6 earthquake in Indonesia, kills 334 people. This was last November. South African flooding kills 461 people. This was in April, you know, that heavy rain that came there in old Durban and different parts of the country. There was flooding, landslides, and at least 461 people were killed. Floods in Nigeria kill at least 612 people. And this was from last year, June to November, was the time period that it was going on. Earthquake in Afghanistan kills at least 1,000 people. It was a 5.9. This was June 21. Pakistan floods kill at least 1,739 people. And again, this was last fall that this happened. Floods that washed away homes and took the lives of at least 1,739 people. Cyclone Freddy made renewed headlines in March after first walloping Madagascar and Mozambique at the end of February. Then the storm made landfall in Mozambique a second time, March 11th. Freddy was one of the longest-lived tropical storms ever in the history of man because of how long it lasted and killed at least 400 people in both Malawi and Mozambique and other areas. And then this summer we had wildfires, typhoons, cyclones, wildfires in Canada and in Greece. I'll read that a little more down over here. Spain, Hawaii, that whole island was destroyed over there. Cyclone Mocha hit Myanmar in Pakistan. And I don't see if it said 375 million in aid. Typhoon Mawar unleashed its power in Guam. It says one of the strongest Hurricane Cat 4 ever to hit Guam. And then July 3rd through July 6th, this summer, they said were the four hottest days on record ever in the history of the Earth, worldwide. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Canadian wildfires burning close to 25 million acres. And actually, from the wildfires in Canada, you could smell it on the East Coast in New Jersey and New York. They said it was, that was some of the worst fires that you can imagine. Then Texas hailstorms that came in February, more than $1 billion worth of damage all across the Dallas North Worth area and the other areas there. And Hurricane Ian, remember that one from last year in Florida? Woof, that was one of the most impactful storms in U.S. history. After battering Southwest Florida last year, Hurricane Ian's rainfall was a 1-in-1,000-year event for the parts that it hit. A 1-in-1,000-year event. More than 100 deaths, 2,500 rescues, 13 million people without power, 150-mile-an-hour winds, 10-plus inches of rain over 3,500 square miles, and at least 7 feet storm surge. And then just recently, just a few weeks ago now, Idalia is also the latest in the summer of natural disasters, including wildfires, like I said, in Hawaii, Canada, Greece, Spain, the first tropical storm to hit California in 84 years and devastated it with flooding, the same in Vermont. Uh, 6.8 magnitude earthquake. This just happened, I think, a week ago or a little longer in Morocco. More than 1,000 people were killed. And this would happen in the last week now with Libya and these floods over there, where at least 11,000 people were killed and there's still more than 10,000 people missing. And this is all breaking. This is just happening. So I can't tell you, how bad, and it's one of the things in the end time, is with the weather, you know, that it talks about, you know, even pray your flight is not in winter on the Sabbath because of how bad the weather is going to be. But it's insane what we're seeing, and it's just getting more intense. You know, like every storm, every month seems to get more and more intense. And they're saying it's global warming, which is nonsense. It has nothing to do with global warming. It has to do with prophecy in the Bible. And the Bible says these things. It talks about earthquakes, and it talks about storms, and it talks about droughts, and it talks about pestilence and all the things that we're seeing now. You know, and this is why I'm urging the brethren, you know, don't let up now that Shemitah is over. You know, start, look for sales. Hopefully you have some things left, and start restocking your shelves as much as possible, because the worst certainly is yet to come. So one thing we didn't have in the Shemitah that I thought was a opportunity that possibly we could have was financial crisis. But I'm telling you, for somebody that's dealt in finance my whole life, the fact with the national debt, the way that the worldwide debt is, not just the American debt, but the worldwide debt, with interest rates being where they are, and they're not coming down anytime soon, and they're going up. And I said this before, that if interest rates go to 5 to 6%, and we're at that, we're at 5.5%, the America cannot even pay the interest on their national debt. And we're there, and they're still rising because of the inflation. Inflation is not going away, and this is going to be a major problem in this coming year. So keep an eye on those two things. Keep an eye on the economic front in this coming year now, particularly with the, you know, the FedNow program that started in July. So you're looking at this digital currency that's, nobody really knows how it's going to impact, but it's there. They're ready to put that in. And the second thing is world war, that we're on the cusp of it. And I'm telling you, don't listen to news from Babylon. It's all fake news. It's fake news everywhere, but especially there. But if you go into, you know, real news sites, and you see what's going on with the war with Russia, and how it's no longer a proxy war. I mean, America is sending frontline, not only people to train over there, but equipment, the top equipment that they have. And, you know, we're really on the verge of it, not just with Russia, but China. Probably more chance of war with China than Russia this coming year. So it's something that we need to be watching. You know, the Bible says watch and pray, because if that happens, I'm telling you, this world will change so quick. You're in a global world where everything is on, you know, the way everything works is internationally working together, and a world war would literally destroy the international economy. And it may be coming. So these are two things to watch for, you know, because like I said, the Shemitah is a year of building up. It's a year of tearing down. And we've seen both in this year. So my question is, though, how about you? How about you? Was your Shemitah a year of building up or a year of tearing down, or maybe a year of both? Did you fully embrace the Shemitah as a year to be able to receive its full blessing? And I think some brethren lost the opportunity for blessing since they never really embraced the Shemitah, you know, fully. And in the end of the day, if you didn't, the only one you're really hurting is yourself. Because like I said, when you go to the store, you know, like most of what we buy in the store, except for, you know, perishables, we only buy it when it's on sale. So, you know, when we're looking at things like whatever, toilet paper or whatever it might be, you know, we're buying it when it's on sale. That's when we're buying it. Because if you can get 2 for 1, then you can cut your expense on that in half if you buy it when it's on sale. So here it is in the Shemitah, Yahweh says, He'll bless you double or triple, maybe even quadruple for what you're putting out. So if you didn't put out 150%, 200% effort, if you didn't put that out, you only lost your own blessing. It's the same I say with tithing. You know, and I see it in some of the third world areas where the people say, oh, they don't have the money. And the reason why you don't have the money is you're not tithing. You will never, ever be blessed if you're stealing from Yahweh. It's that simple. You know, you want to make Yahweh your partner. And the way to make him your partner isn't by stealing from him. So that's the way to get the blessing. And the same with the Shemitah. If you weren't, you know, keeping it properly and you were cutting corners. And, you know, and I gave so many things before the Shemitah started on dehydrating food and all different types of ways. And we even learned during the Shemitah different things of, you know, whatnot. But there were, it didn't matter where you're living or where you are, there were ways to be able to prepare and to keep it. So like I said, how was your Shemitah personally? You know, did you fully embrace it to receive the full blessing or not? Deuteronomy 29, verse 3 through 5. And I'm going to drop down to verse 29. Deuteronomy 29, 3 through 5 says, your eyes have seen, and this is Yahweh talking to the Israelites, your eyes have seen the great trials, the signs, and those great miracles. Yet Yahweh has not given you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day. Wow, that's really a sad scripture, right? So here it is. They saw it. They lived it. They were there. They saw the 3 days of darkness. They saw the Nile turn to blood. They saw all the plagues, you know, of the lice and the flies and all the other things over there, including the killing of the death of the firstborn. And then they saw Yahweh part the Red Sea and they walked through it, right? They saw all the miracles, and yet they didn't have eyes to see until this day. And I have led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Your garments have not worn out from you, and your sandals have not worn away from your foot. Wow, can you imagine that? You know, having that for 40 years, nothing wore out. And like I said, I got some stuff that's getting close to that. Sweaters and different things that I bought in the early 1990s that still in very good shape. But I look forward because the best is yet to come, right? Because the wilderness is just coming now. And then verse 29 says, the secret things belong to Yahweh our Elohim, and the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah, right? So the secret things belong to Yahweh. Israel saw the miracles, but didn't have spiritual eyes to understand. And I want to ask you, the sermon that I gave in Nicaragua, Signs of the End Time, did that shake you up? You know, I mean, because it's sometimes like I think in the world we live in, because things go so fast, and like I always say, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And we're always moving and working and doing things and whatever. And I think like we miss the big picture. And that's what I try to do sometimes. I try to give the big picture. But that is an amazing sermon of what has been happening just like in the last, since 2014 really, the last 9 years that are there. And it should shake us up to show us what has happened in prophecy and how close we are to the end time. And here we are, you know, like, it's, to me, it's like, I don't even know the feeling, maybe you have the same feeling, but I got like this like deep feeling in my soul that Shemitah's over. Like, to me, Shemitah was like almost like being in a bomb shelter. It was like a protection, you know, a protection around you because, you know, that's what Yahweh says. You're being obedient and he's blessing that year, but it's like now, wow, we could be heading into the last 7 years of humanity before the kingdom comes. This could be it. You know, that's why I say how important are cycles of seven, you know, and they're really, really important. It's a message I'm going to give at Sukkot. One message on that about the time Yeshua is returning, because I think there's some things in scripture that are so, they're so evident and so there that maybe we just miss it because it's right before our eyes. But here it is, you know, that we could be heading into the last 7 years and the vast majority, 99% of the world has no idea what is up and what is down. And Yahweh has opened up our eyes. And yet, you know, like with the Israelites, some still don't see it. Or even worse, they see it and they just don't do anything about it. And this is why analyzing the Shemitah now in your life, you know, I'm giving this sermon here and some things that you could maybe ask yourself. But it's important. Because if you come out of this and the Shemitah was nothing to you, if it was just a matter of, you know, not eating fresh vegetables for a year and, you know, maybe picking fruit on a tree, but if there's no spiritual blessing in your life this year, then wow, that's as sad as what happened to the Israelites. But remember, out of 2 million people that left Egypt and went to the wilderness, only 2 went to the promised land. So it's time we need to get serious, you know. So Yahweh is showing us, you know, the Revelation 12 sign, all the different things that have been happening. if you have ICC, you know, if you have ICC. And if it did shake you up and you are seeing how close we are, you'd be putting 100% effort into overcoming and bearing fruit for the kingdom, becoming the bride of Messiah. You know, that's our destiny forever. And getting out every spot and wrinkle from our wedding garments. If you really understand the signs of the end time, the Shemitah cycle, Shemitah year, and the cycles of seven, why would you be putting so much time and effort into the things of Satan society, which will be totally destroyed, right? 7 years. This last seven went fast. You know, I was listening to some sermons from the last Shemitah, and I was like, wow, they could have been given this Shemitah. You know, I mean, they're really, online there, you know, not just online, but I mean, they're really timely, let's say, you know. So, if that's the case, you know, I mean, we need to be putting that full effort out. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. I'll read verse 12 through 21. So that you should enter into the covenant of Yahweh your Elohim, and into his oath, which Yahweh your Elohim is cutting with you today, so that he may establish you today for a people for himself, and he himself to be your Elohim. And he has spoken to you, and he has sworn to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Yaakov. And I am not cutting this covenant and this oath with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before Yahweh your Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us today. So this is for all time. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations through which you passed. And you have seen their detestable things and their idols of wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. That there not be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from Yahweh our Elohim to go to serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you today a root that bears gall and wormwood. And it happens when you hear the words of this curse, that he should bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, even though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, to snatch away the drunken with the thirsty. Yahweh will not be willing to forgive him. For then the anger of Yahweh and his zeal will smoke, and his zeal shall be against that man. And all the curses written in the book shall lie upon him. And Yahweh will blot out his name from under the heavens. And Yahweh will set him apart to evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the Torah. So, you know, you could kid yourself, but you can't kid Yahweh. And that's what he says, that if he's given all this to you, and he's blessed you and opened your mind and called you one out of, like I said, 5 million people that aren't being called, and you're not doing nothing with him, you're blinding yourself, he says curses are going to come. Never mind losing out on blessing. You know, you're going to wind up getting curses if you're not taking it serious. A curse to those who blind themselves to the signs that Yahweh gives to come out of pagan society, right? Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. It says, for as the rain and snow comes down from the heavens and do not return there, except it waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my words be which go out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in what I send it to do. So this is where the rubber hits the road, right? This is where either you believe it or you don't. This is where without faith in Yahweh, it's impossible to be in his kingdom. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So that's the first gateway to the kingdom, right? We have to have the fear of Yahweh to believe. If you don't have the fear of Yahweh, you're never going to, not only will you believe, you're never going to follow, you're never going to be inspired to do it. But every word that has come out of the mouth of Yahweh, every word in Scripture is going to be fulfilled exactly the way Yahweh said it. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh, for it is right that the one drawing near to Yahweh should be believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? So, yeah, that makes so much sense. I mean, here's a being that is eternal. He has no beginning, no end, right? He's been there forever. He created time. That's the ironic part. Some people say, well, who created Elohim? He created time. So how could he be bound by something that he created? But we say we believe. We say we have faith in him. And yet sometimes we live our life the total opposite. You know, just like the Shemitah. You know, how much did you put into it? You know, unless you are convicted and living Yahweh's word daily, you're not believing, but doubting Yahweh's word that he will perform what he said. You know? And, you know, it's like I say sometimes where somebody will come up and they'll be sick, whatever, and they'll ask for anointing, and you anoint the person, and I tell them, now believe you're healed. And then they're just telling you everything about the doctor and this, and it's like, but you're healed. Do you understand it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that you're healed? And we have to believe. We have to believe the word of Yahweh. We have to believe his word with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Luke 18 in verse 7 to 9 says, will not Elohim do all the more vengeance for his elect who call on him day and by night? And he will be long-suffering with them. I say to you that he will do their vengeance quickly. Nevertheless, the Son of Man will indeed come. And will he find faith on the earth? And he also spoke this parable to some of those relying on themselves, that they are righteous and despising the rest. So I think sometimes what some people think is faith is nothing more than self-righteous. So faith is trusting Yahweh. It's not trusting in yourself. It's not the Laodicean self-reliant pride, because you have that in a lot of religious spirits. You know, that people just... their pride will tell them that they're not wrong, and their pride will say, no, they believe, but they're not really believing in Yahweh. They're believing in themselves. Faith, trusting Yahweh for everything, not just what you store for yourself, but what Yahweh's, you know, blessing you with. So here it is. This is a year where we have to prepare. So we're not preparing to save ourselves. We're preparing because we trust in the word of Yahweh. And I find something very interesting. Before the Shemitah started, we planted a big garden outside, and I figured, okay, you know, we'll plant it before Shemitah, just like for Sabbath on Friday, right? We work on Friday and we prepare our food for Sabbath. So I figured there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing in the Bible that says you can't plant before the Shemitah begins. But the ironic part was, not one thing that I planted in the garden came up. Not one. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, I plant the garden every year and it comes out good. And this year, not one thing I planted. And yet, things came up in the garden even that I didn't plant, that Yahweh provided. So I learned a big lesson from it. And yes, I'm the type of person that I always like to have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C and maybe even a plan D. But at the same rate, we can't lose fact of the Yahweh factor. We can't lose the fact of trusting in Yahweh, of letting him do what he's got to do, and we have to follow in faith. And what that means is sometimes we're not going to know the outcome. Sometimes you got to walk with a blindfold on, but you know that the person in front of you is the hand of Yahweh that's out there taking you. And it's something we have to get used to. We don't like it all the time, but as long as you're trusting him, you know, Romans 8:28, it all works out for the good. It will never work out bad. As long as you're being obedient and you're stepping out and you're trusting him in faith, it's never going to work out for the bad. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 7 says, do not judge according to outward appearance, right? But judge according to righteous judgment. If anyone thinks of himself to belong to Messiah, let him think this again as to himself, that as he is of Messiah, so we also belong to Messiah, right? So we don't want to judge by outward appearance, but we want to judge by righteous judgment. And not all of our blessings are going to be physical, mammon. Our greatest blessings are the spiritual ones. And I think in the world we live in, remember, in commercial Babylon, it's all over the world. So even though America is the nation of Babylon, commercial Babylon, the system that they brought is everywhere. So it doesn't matter if you're living in a third world country somewhere or you're living in a first world country. Babylon has affected everybody. And part of that being affected is the thinking that everything that comes in a form of a blessing has to be something that's physical, that has to be mammon. And it's just not true. The greatest blessings that are going to come in our life are the spiritual blessings, not the physical ones. And unfortunately, today people's minds are corrupted by commercial Babylon. It's that simple. Let's go to Jacob 4. Jacob 4. And this is why we need to come out of commercial Babylon. This is all part of the Shemitah year. You know, because the Shemitah year, like a Sabbath. In the Sabbath day, we come out of the world and we stay sanctified. We stay set apart with the people of Yahweh. And the same in the Shemitah year. You know, it's a year of new beginnings. It's a year to get rid of, you know, the year of release. And I hope whatever was in your life, you needed to release. You know, whether it's covetous spirit, pride, anger, whatever. I pray you released it, you know, because it's the year of release. So Jacob 4 says, from where come conflicts and fightings from among you? Is it not from your lusts warring in your members? You covet, and yet you do not have. You murder and are jealous, and you're not able to possess. You fight and you strive, and you have nothing, because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive, because you do not ask sincerely. You ask in order that you may satisfy your lust. So that's the key. What are our prayers? Are our prayers for the kingdom of Yahweh? Are our prayers for the ministry? Are our prayers for, you know, Yahweh's kingdom to grow, for people to come to faith? Are our prayers for the brethren? Our prayer is just always asking for something for ourselves. And there are legitimate things in life, right? You know, we do need housing and we do need a job and we do need these things, but that should not be the main focus of our prayers. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity, hatred with Elohim? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Elohim. Or do you think that vainly, the scripture says, the pride dwelling in us lusts with envy? But he gives greater grace because of this. It says, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. Then submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wow, that is one of the top scriptures in the Bible. Because anything you're trying to overcome, anything you're trying to, you know, get rid of in your life, something that's not of Yahweh, anything, it comes down to this. This is basic believer 101, you know. Submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And don't get them mixed up, right? You have to submit to Yahweh in order to resist the devil. And a lot of people in pride, right, they do it the other way. They're trying to resist the devil on their own. They don't want to come to Yahweh for help, you know. And what happens? It just doesn't work. So you have to submit to Yahweh, resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw near to Elohim, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, double-minded ones, right? This was the year. It was the year of release. It was the year to be able to do this. Be distressed and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into shame. Be humbled before Yahweh, and he will exalt you, right? And that's the key to it. We got to get rid of our pride. And you know, the Shemitah, I think, is a great year for that because it's humbling when you're defenseless, right? Where you have to trust in Yahweh, where you have to allow him to do it for you because we can't do it for ourselves. Romans 10, we have to change our mindset, though, right? Don't look for the blessings in Satan's world. Look for the blessings by Yahweh's Spirit. Romans 10, I'm going to read verse 13 through 21. For everyone, whoever may call on the name of Yahweh, will be saved. How then may they call on the one whom they have not believed? And how may they believe one whom they have not heard? And how may they hear without a preacher? And how may they preach if they are not sent? Even as it has been written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news of peace, of those preaching good things. But not all obeyed the good news, for Isaiah says, Yahweh, who has believed our report? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim, right? Did you take this time during the Shemitah, right? Did you do double Bible study, right? And double prayer? Or did you maybe even do less than you normally do? The Shemitah, the whole point of not working in the Shemitah, right? The reason why in biblical times, most people were farmers. So people that didn't farm for a whole year, and not only farm, you couldn't prune, or harvest or anything, right? That means you have a lot more time on your hands. So, analyzing your Shemitah year, were you getting more Bible study and prayer in than normal? Were you doing more fasting? Were you doing more meditation, right? Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, rather into all the earth, their voice went out, and to the ends of the world, their words. But I say, did Israel know? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by a non-nation, by an unwise nation, I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those not seeking me. I became known to those not inquiring after me. But to Israel, he says, all the day I stretch my hands to a disobeying and contradicting people. Wow. So that's Israel for you, right? Faith is built by not only hearing the word of Yahweh, but showing belief by acting on that word. The Shemitah was a great test for this. How much you prepared shows how much you believed. How faithful you kept it shows how convinced you were. So let me say that again, because this is really important, right? Shemitah was a great test for this. How much you prepared shows how much you believed. How faithful you kept it showed how convinced you were. Let's go to Jacob 2. Go back one chapter, Jacob 2. I'm going to read verse 14 through 24. Because, right, faith without works is dead. You have to, whenever there is faith, there is always a deed. And he says, my brothers, what is the gain if anyone says he has faith but does not have deeds? Is faith able to restore him to life? But if a brother or a sister is naked and may be lacking in daily food, and any one of you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, but does not give them the things the body needs, what gain is it? So also faith, if it does not have deeds, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith apart from your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that Elohim is one, Ikad, right? You do well, even the demons believe and shudder. But are you willing to know, O vain man, that faith apart from deeds is dead? Was not our father Abraham justified by his deeds, offering up his son Isaac on the altar? You see how faith helped with his deeds, and how by his deeds the faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was accounted for righteousness to him. And he was called friend of Elohim, right? So he didn't just say, I believed. His actions backed it up. You see then how a man by his deeds becomes righteous and not by faith alone. So this is what it comes down to, right? Shemitah is a great test of faith because just like with the Sabbath, you're either keeping it or breaking it, right? Faith will always bring an action. Laodiceans have no action, right? They just have a lot of smoke, a lot of hot air. They only talk and don't do anything. John 15. But now it's harvest time, right? The Shemitah is over. And that, what does that mean? That means it's harvest time. Now you can go out and you can harvest everything that's been growing. You could start planting. Because the whole point of the Shemitah is that we can bear more fruit. That we can be more like Yeshua and we could bear more fruit. John 15 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit he takes away. And each one bearing fruit he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you, as the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you are not able to do anything. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up, and they gather and throw them into a fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you desire you will ask, and it will happen to you. And this, my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples to me. So that's what it's about. Like I said, all of us, Yahweh doesn't call us to be barren. Yahweh, you know, he didn't call you, you know, one out of 5 other million people in the world that he didn't call, just to pat you on the back and say, wow, you know, look what a great thing it is that you're called. No. He called us to bear fruit, just like the parable of the talents. And here we are, right? I mean, there could be another seven left. There might be two sevens, but there's a very good chance we might be going into the last seven. And boy, if that doesn't put a lump in your throat, I don't know what would. That means the time is running out. Greatest blessing, Shemitah, is to have more time to build relationship with Yahweh, bear more fruit for the kingdom. And I want to ask another, as we're looking here, analyzing the Shemitah year, right? And analyzing for yourself, what were your priorities during the Shemitah? You know, what was your priorities? Was it putting more time in for Yahweh, because that's what Shemitah is about? Or was the priority something else? Did you work less for the world this year than you normally do? Some people take off the whole Shemitah. They don't even work the whole year because they're dedicating the whole year to Yahweh, because it's a type of a Sabbath. Did you bear more spiritual fruit for the kingdom this year than you normally do? We are told Yahweh will double and triple our efforts in the Shemitah. How much fruit did you do? Is working on overcoming and becoming the complete believer the priority in your life? Right? How serious are you taking it? And Yahweh has given, at least in our congregation, He's given so many different avenues through the years, right? We kept the feast in Israel for a whole 19-year time cycle. That's a long time, right? That's what the moon cycle goes in, 19 years. And Yahweh had us there a whole 19-year time cycle, keeping the feast there. Now He has us keeping the feast in the wilderness. Did you ever try to come? You know, even once. You know, how about the school? That, to me, man, when I was a young believer, I would have gave my right arm to have a program that would teach me how to be more productive for the kingdom. You know, and I've been doing that school now for close to 20 years, going on 19 years. And it can cut off 10 years of the learning curve out there. And there's, you know, almost all our elders in the congregation have went to the school. And it is life-changing. And I know not everybody could do it. But have you ever thought about it? Have you ever tried? You know, and that's like faith without works is dead. And I think a lot of times, like the Shemitah, that people just have a negative attitude and say I just can't do it. Just like Israel. You know, oh, nope, you can't do it. No, for whatever reason. You know, I live in the city. I have no place to store stuff. I don't have the money. There's 100 reasons you could think of for not doing it, but there's one reason you could think of for doing it, because the word of Yahweh says it. And if the word of Yahweh says it, Yahweh will make a way. And like I said, the miracles that we saw, potatoes coming up 2 years later, we forgot they were even in there. You know, things like that, when Yahweh provides, you know, it really is a rush, because we didn't know how he was going to provide. And it's not only me. Like I said, I can't believe how many brethren and elders have been sending reports and pictures and all these things. And it's amazing, all the blessings that Yahweh has given His people. So, the Shemitah concerns our faith in Yahweh as well as our true intentions and convictions. How well did you do? How much fruit were you blessed with? Matthew 17 and verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And they having come toward the crowd, a man came near to Him, kneeling down to Him and saying, Master, pity my son, for he has a demon and is afflicted. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And answering, Yeshua said, O faithless and crooked generation, until when shall I be with you? Until when shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And Yeshua rebuked it, and the demon came out from him, and the boy was healed from that moment. Then coming up to Yeshua privately, the disciples said, Why were we not able to cast him out? And Yeshua said to them, Because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and not a thing shall prevail over you. Wow. Grain of a mustard seed, you know? I mean, man, And it's, it really, in one sense, it's so simple because it's just belief. If you could just get that real belief, not just saying it, but you got to live it. You got to live it that Yahweh is real and he's there and he's moving and he's doing things. And once you have that faith in, without any form of doubt whatsoever, man, you become a powerful worker for the kingdom of Yahweh and you will build fruit. You know, you will do it, but you got to have that faith first. Faith belongs to Yahweh. It is a gift. It's not something you work up, right? Faith belongs to Yahweh as a gift. It's not worked up. You either believe or you don't. And like I said, I can say this at the Bible school. There's things I can teach and there's things I can't teach. You can't teach faith. You can be an example of faith. You could help people understand what it means better. But in the end of the day, you have to choose to believe. You have to make that choice. And like I said, faith is a gift. It belongs to Yahweh. The situation on the ground does not change the word of Yahweh. So there's people out there that will, you know, say they believe, they're in the congregation until something happens. Could be, you know, death in the family. It could be losing a job. It could be, you know, having a foreclosure on your house. It could be anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's all the, well, why would Yahweh allow this? Well, why would he allow that? Why would he allow that? Because you're living in Satan's world. And in Satan's world, yes, bad things are going to happen every day of your life. That's part of it. That's why we're working toward the kingdom. That's why we're ambassadors for the kingdom. Because we want to get rid of Satan's world. And we want to bring a world without end. We want to bring the kingdom of Yahweh from one end of this earth to the other end of the earth. But you got to believe it. You got to believe. So things that happen on the ground doesn't change. It doesn't change the word of Yahweh. And it doesn't change whatever, and bad things are going to happen. It's just life and Satan's system. Challenges in our life should build our faith, not destroy it. That's one of the reasons Yahweh allows it to happen, because it makes us closer to him. It makes us draw out to him. It makes us pray to him. Look at people like Joseph, you know, in the Bible, and King David, and Ruth, right? Who had the greatest challenges in their life, going through all kinds of things. You know, when I think of Joseph at 17 years old, being not only thrown in the pit there, but then sold as a slave, and then, you know, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and then put in prison for 13 years in a moldy, rotten prison. And yet he never lost his focus. Because you would think, man, when he saw those brothers, there'd be, you know, fire coming out of his eyes. You know, he'd want to get even. And what did he say? No, don't. You didn't do this. Yahweh brought me here to preserve life. Wow, what perspective. Right? What perspective? And yet, sometimes in the congregation, some quit and go back to the world. But all it shows is that they never had faith to begin with. And that's the difference. Some people, it's pride. It's just pride that brings them in or whatever. They never surrender to Yahweh. They never repent. And they never receive the Holy Spirit. They never follow judicial order. And then they wind up, when things don't go their way, they wind up quitting. And it just shows they never had faith. They only had pride. Last scripture is Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Because, you know, when we're looking at our blessings in life, I don't think there can be a greater blessing, and it's also a miracle that Yahweh preserved his word for us for 3,500 years. And I think in the world we live in today, we take for granted because, you know, we're living in a technological world, and the Bible used to seem like this mysterious book, you know, when there was only a King James and maybe a few other versions. And now, you know, you've got thousands of versions and everything is mostly on people's phones and whatever. And I even wonder, you know, because sometimes people say, oh, the only reason I have an iPhone is because I have my Bible on it. It's like, ah, oh, I mean, this is something sanctified. This is something Kodesh. You really want to put it on an iPhone? You know, that's why I only study from a literal Bible. I don't want to study from a phone or study from a computer or something like that. I want to study from the Word of Yahweh. And I think we take for granted what a miracle that is. Because when you look in history, like today, if things went on for 10,000 more years, sure. Now, you'd have millions and millions of documents and different things for everything, right? Because it's the world we live in. But the fact that a few thousand years ago, they didn't even have an alphabet. The fact that they didn't have paper yet. The fact that anything that was written was carved with a picture on a stone. And that Yahweh, when we're looking in history, where do you see? You know, you're lucky if you can find one page of something that's preserved from a famous writer or a famous king or a famous person. Sometimes people find one line of something from a king and they're all amazed. And yet Yahweh gives us this whole Bible. He gives us the Tanakh in the New Testament, and he preserved every last word of it for us. And wow, what a gift that is. What a gift that is. And without that, I couldn't read what I'm reading right now. So Hebrews 11, verse 32. It says, and what more shall I say, right? I think I've said it all. It's a little under an hour here, but I think I pretty much said it all, right? You know, analyzing the Shemitah year, it's a year of faith. It's a year of building up. It's a year of tearing down. You know, how did you do? Is your faith stronger? Is your faith weaker? Did you get closer to Yahweh? You're further away. Did you bear more fruit or didn't you? You know, did you spend more time with Yahweh during the Shemitah, which is that's what the blessing is, or did you spend less time with him? And what more shall I say? For the time will fail me telling about Gideon, Barak, and also Samson and Jethro, and also David and Samuel and the rest of the prophets, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouth of the sword, acquired power from weakness, became strong in war, made armies of foreigners to yield, restored to women their sons, raised people from the dead, but others were beaten to death, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others received trial of mockings and of scourgings, yea, more of bond and prison. They were stoned, they were tried, they were sawed in two. They died by murder of sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the halls of the earth, the wilderness, right? And having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not obtain the promise, right? They're all sleeping in the grave, waiting for us to manifest ourselves, waiting for us to shed the things we need to shed in this life, right? The year of release. To get closer to Yahweh, to get more strong spiritually. They're waiting for us. And Yahweh, having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us, right? When Yeshua returns, we all shed these earthly bodies. The ones in the grave will be raised, and we'll all be glorified together. Wow. How wonderful is that? How great is that? These are those who had true belief, conviction. Their actions proved that they stayed separate from Satan's society at all costs, and they never compromised. The Shemitah is such a blessing to be commanded to abstain from physical work to have more time for the spiritual work of Yahweh. Now it's over, right? Can't get it back. Can't get it back. Either the blessings were there that can't be taken away, or you never got them because you never gave into it. Since the Shemitah and cycles of seven are harbingers for prophecy, have you been praying about the days ahead? Since we may be heading into the last 7 years of humanity before the kingdom of Yahweh comes. And like I said, possibly there could be one more seven. You know, I'm not saying this is definitely the last seven, but there's a good chance. But maybe, who knows, there could be, only Yahweh knows the time, right? We have 6 more years till the next one. 6 days of work and then the Sabbath, 6 more years and then the next Shemitah. Time is running out to redeem. So how do you do the Shemitah? Did you fully embrace it and get the blessings that Yahweh had for you? Have you changed? Are you a different person than you were before? Are you a stronger believer than when it started? Are you living as if you really believe we're that close to the end? And I'm going to end where I started with the Israelites, right? In Deuteronomy 29. The Israelites saw the miracles and the signs and still did not have eyes to believe. That is so sad. But my question now is, how about you? The Israelites didn't have eyes to see. Even after everything that they saw with their physical eyes, they didn't have spiritual eyes. So, as Yom Teruah is here, as the new cycle is starting, what about you? Yahweh bless. Hatzameach.